الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله صلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, during this beautiful month of Safar al-Muzaffar, we bring another beautiful program for you in which we will be covering the blessed seerah, the blessed biography of the great imam, of the revivalist of the 14th century, of one of the most elite mufassirs of the Quran, of one of the most elite muhaddith of his time, of one of the most elite imams of his time, who is known as the imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh. And the name of our program is Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh, the guide to light. Yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Alayh was indeed guide to light. Whichever aspect we pick upon, whichever field we want to touch upon, we will see Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahimahullah, his teachings to be a beacon of light, and him as guide to light, as guide to the true faith, to the true understanding of Islam for us. Insha'Allah Zawajal, in this program of ours, we will touch upon different aspects of the beautiful seerah, the biography of the great Imam, the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahimahullah, and enlighten our hearts with his mention. Alhamdulillah, we have our brother Ali Haider Bhai with us, who will be taking us through this program and talk about Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh. In today's episode, Dear Viewers of Madani Channel, we will talk about the exemplary childhood of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Alayh. As we find in the seerah of the great elite, of the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all the phases of their lives are amazing, and every phase of their life is a lesson for us. And same was the case of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Alayh, that his childhood was also a blessed childhood, an exemplary childhood, and something for us to take lesson from in order to how should our children also have their childhood, and how should we bring them up. But before we delve any further into this beautiful topic, let's first of all enlighten our hearts with listening to the naat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sunte hain ke mahshar mein ek unki rasai hai. Sunte hain ke mahshar mein ek unki rasai hai. Gaye unki rasai hai, lo jab to banai hai. Masla hai ke rahmat ne ummeed bandai hai. Masla hai ke rahmat ne ummeed bandai hai. Kya baat teri mujrim, kya baat banai hai, kya baat teri mujrim, kya baat banai hai. Sabne safe mahshar mein lalkar diya humko, sabne safe mahshar mein lalkar diya humko. تیری دہائی ہے، بے قدم کے آقا اب تیری دہائی ہے۔ یوں تو سب انہی کا ہے پر دل کی اگر پوچھو، یوں تو سب انہی کا ہے پر دل کی اگر پوچھو، یہ ٹوٹے ہوئے دل ہی خاص ان کی کمائی ہے، یہ ٹوٹے ہوئے دل ہی خاص ان کی کمائی ہے۔ بازار عمل میں تو سودا نہ بنا اپنا، بازار عمل میں تو سودا نہ بنا اپنا، سرکار کرم تجھ میں عیبی کی سمائی ہے، سرکار کرم تجھ میں عیبی کی سمائی ہے۔ گرتے ہوں کو مجدا سجدے میں گرے مولا، گرتے ہوں کو مجدا سجدے میں گرے مولا، رو رو کے شفاعت کی تمہید اٹھائی ہے، رو رو کے شفاعت کی تمہید اٹھائی ہے۔ عشق تیرے صدقے جلنے سے چھٹے سستے، عشق تیرے صدقے جلنے سے چھٹے سستے، جو آگ بجا دے گی وہ آگ لگائی ہے، جو آگ بجا دے گی وہ آگ لگائی ہے۔ مطلع میں یہ شک کیا تھا واللہ رضا واللہ، مطلع میں یہ شک کیا تھا واللہ رضا واللہ، صرف ان کی رسائی ہے، صرف ان کی رسائی ہے، صرف ان کی رسائی ہے، صرف ان کی رسائی ہے۔ سنتے ہیں کہ محشر میں صرف ان کی رسائی ہے۔
سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ۔ Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh, the guide to light. In today's episode, as we mentioned earlier, we will be talking about the exemplary childhood of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, Rahmatullah Alayh. Jazakallah Ali Bhai for giving us time and blessing us with your precious time. As we mentioned in our introduction, that this program of ours is about the great Imam, the revivalist of the 14th century, who served Islam in such a way which cannot be seen in our recent past, and the service for the Deen of Allah Almighty that he rendered, that was amazing from many aspects, as he saved the faith of not only his contemporary people, those who lived in that era, but also for the generations to come. And even today we see that we, alhamdulillah, take his teachings as a light for us. Now, when we talk about such personalities, of course, the entire life of theirs is a great lesson for us. And the childhood of such individuals is also something for us to learn from, something for us to take from, so we can also bring our youth, our children up in a similar manner. So when we talk about the exemplary childhood of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, what do we see in his childhood? How is his childhood an exemplary childhood, and what lessons can we take from his best childhood?
JazakAllah khair, Hussein bhai. With regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, alhamdulillah, we're going to be discussing his seerah, his life. But he's such a personality that if we try to do justice to his personality, we wouldn't be able to.
Indeed.
I think if books were written, the writers of the books, the pens, the ink, it would all become dry and everything would be finished. But still we couldn't do justice to the great Imam. But if we speak about him, we have to speak in a mannerism where we try to do justice. And in order to do justice to anything, in order to discuss anything, you have to first look at his asal. And we're speaking about the childhood of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. We have to look at who Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was surrounded by. What was his childhood like? And who were the people who directly influenced him? Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he came from a lineage of great scholars. His own father, his grandfather, the people around him, he was from a family of great shuyukh, of great ulama-i kiram. And we look at Sayyidi Ala Hazrat as a grand master of tafsir, of hadith, of fiqh. These are just a few of the many titles that he has. But how did this young child become this grand master of his time? How did Imam Ahmad Raza, how did Ahmad Raza become Sayyidi Ala Hazrat? They remember him hundreds of years later. We look at Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's childhood, where whatever he would do, he would always have this thing in the front of his mind, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has this presence of mind that Allah is watching.
And this too, at such a young age, where during his childhood, and this is amazing, as viewers of Madani Channel, even if you look around us nowadays, how much fear of Allah Almighty do we have? Whenever we are committing sin, do we have this mindset that Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me, Allah is watching me? But the great Imam, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahimahullah, even in his childhood, had this mindset that Allah Almighty is watching me, my Allah is watching me.
Like we mentioned with regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, we said that he had this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At one point you did mention, mashallah, with regards to even elders don't understand such points that he had in his early age. And that one of the direct reasons, of course, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his wilayat, and it's also his household. We have to understand that he was literally embedded in the treasure of ulama-i kiram. His father, his grandfather, the people around him, they weren't just normal ulama-i kiram, they were masters of the tasawwuf as well. They were people who had mastered their own nafs. Exactly, practicing ilm and amal. And that's what you find in the household of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Not only in knowledge, but they had that practicing the amal with them. And with regards to this, we find when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was very young, and it wasn't even fard for him to fast, it was the month of Ramadan. And where Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is from, we know in the Indian subcontinent, temperatures can reach very, very high. So imagine elders today making excuse, you know what, it's too hot, I can't fast today. But this young Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, what's he doing? Age where is not even obligatory upon him, he's keeping a fast. And what happens is his own father, Hazrat Allama Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, he knows that Imam Ahmad Raza is a child, he's keeping what we would consider half fast. He's going to maybe eat once or twice in the day, but he'll fast during the day. So what he does, he knows that Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza, he doesn't wish to break his fast, but he just calls him into a room. He closes the door so he doesn't make Imam Ahmad Raza feel bad. Because the key point we need to focus on, it wasn't fard upon him. This was just this great child who had wilayat at such a young age that he wished to fast. And his father, he closed the door and he says to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, there, eat the sweet. So the sweet's in his room, closed the doors, nobody can see him. And Allama Naqi Ali Khan says, there, eat the sweet. Now Ala Hazrat says, but I am fasting. And then Mufti Naqi Ali Khan, he says, the fasting of children is always like this. Meaning they'll eat a few times during the day, but this is the fast of the children. Then again, Mufti Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi alayhi says, don't worry, nobody is watching. I've closed the door, nobody is watching. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat respectfully said, through whose command I am fasting, he is seeing me. Look at this answer from such a young child. Mufti Naqi Ali Khan says that nobody is watching. But the great Imam says that the reason and the command by which I am fasting, he is watching me. He is the one who is seeing me. And upon hearing this, Allama Naqi Ali Khan, tears begin to flow from his face. The great fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even we'll not even discuss children's fasting today. Let's discuss elders fasting today. A slight temperature happens, a bit of a cough, a mild bit of illness, straight away I can't fast. But the great Imam says no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it fard. Allah is watching me, I would keep a fast.
When there are no ACs and these kind of facilities back in those days. And it's amazing, Ali, that you're mentioning regarding the fear of Allah Rahmatullah at such a young age. Now, one may think that such a young child, for us, many elders, they don't possess this fear, reason being they are far away from Quran and Hadith. They don't acquire knowledge, as without knowing about something, you can't sort of acquire full knowledge about it. Now, what is the fear of Allah Almighty? What is it that's important when recite the verses of Quran, you come across those verses where Allah Almighty has warned us and the punishment of hell have been mentioned over certain sins. And these kinds of matters, until and unless you don't come across them, learn about them, it is very difficult to instill the fear of Allah Almighty in our hearts. But in the seerah of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, rahmatullah, one aspect, of course, that was the bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the vilayat, sainthood that was granted to him. But the other point that he touched upon is the household, the environment in the house, the family, how the family was. The problem with us nowadays is that we want our child to be a wali, but ourselves we don't want to offer even a single salah. And then we expect our child to be punctual in salah, to be obedient to us and so forth. But ourselves, we have all the sins present in our own self. And so this is what we learn from this beautiful account, that the household, we ourselves should be practicing and then expect our children to be on the same track as we will be. As a father's actions are the biggest role model, you can say, for a child. Rather than words, verbally saying something to your child, you want your child to do something, start doing that action yourself.
And that point you mentioned, that's not usually what happens in society.
Gee.
If you look at it, the father will say, son, do this, do this, do this. But the child will always think, my father is not doing this. And it's not the child's fault. The child will do whatever his father, like you mentioned, you need to become a silent preacher. You do the works yourself, you act in accordance to the Quran, Sunnah yourself, your child will automatically do it. He doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. He knows my father is my father. Whatever he does, it has to be right. And if you do something wrong, he will copy that thinking and understanding that thing is actually right.
Father is the biggest role model for the child.
Most definitely.
And you would have noticed, Arifai, that in many households, when the father, he prays himself, the young children, they come and start doing sajda and all these kind of things. They'll wear the hat or the imam al-sharif, they'll grab a tasbih and just roam around. Why? Because they've seen their father do this. But now, if I don't offer salah myself, if I'm not adhering to sunnahs myself, how do I expect my children to be the same? Now, for example, my parents are alive today. I don't serve my parents in front of my children. Then how can I expect my children to serve me when I grow up? Because they haven't learned that. And the way I'm dealing with my parents today, the way I'm treating them, my children are going to do the same to me when I grow older and when they grow up. Because this is what they learned from me.
When you mentioned the word, the treatment of parents, if you look at Sayyidina Hazrat's life, if you look at his lineage, we find that the greatest respect and the greatest, almost you could say, memorial that Sayyidina Hazrat gave to his own father was continuing his legacy, was continuing the legacy of ilm and amal through generations. And the way Sayyidina Hazrat did it, Sayyidina Hazrat's own children continued that same legacy.
One became Hujjat al-Islam, and one became Mufti Azam.
Subhanallah. And that is the greatest honor and respect for a father, that my child continues my legacy. Sayyidina Al-Hazrat preserved his father's teachings and his children preserved his teachings for us to benefit from today.
SubhanAllah. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, such a beautiful and wonderful household of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayhi was that they nourished and brought Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayhi in such a way that from a very young age, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Rahmatullah Alayhi had the fear of Allah Almighty instilled in his heart. So if we want our children to also be in a certain way, if we want our children to be pious, if we want our children to respect us, then dear viewers of Madani Channel, we ourselves have to be a role model for them. We ourselves need to be doing those things. Start acting upon sunnahs yourself, and inshallah you'll see your children also follow your footsteps. And this is very, very important for us, as we need to be silent preachers for our children. We need to act the way we want our children to act. And then only we will see transformation. If we ourselves are engrossed in sin, if we ourselves listen to music and we are indulged in unlawful activities, then how do we expect our children to be pious? We unfortunately, in our homes nowadays, mashallah, watch unlawful and sinful programs with our children, with our daughters, with our sons. And when they take that immoral lesson from those indecent programs or whatever, and when they physically and practically act upon it in the society, in their personal life, then we have a problem. But we need to understand over here that we ourselves are sowing these seeds of evil in their hearts from a very young age. And then later on, we regret our own selves. Salvation lies in following the Quran and Hadith, in following the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as was followed by the forefathers and parents of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, and as and following the same footsteps, he also brought up his own children as well. So beautiful lesson, alhamdulillah, we learn from this very beautiful aspect of the childhood of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh as well. Dearly Harbai, other than this, spoken about the fear of Allah Almighty that he had in his heart, and it was primarily, of course, everything is bestowment of Allah Almighty, but also one of the apparent means, if you want to name it, is also because of his household, the environment that he had around him. Other than this, what else can we learn from the exemplary childhood of Ala Hazrat?
When we look at the childhood of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, and we look at, in order to explain Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's childhood, let's look at society's children today.
Right.
If we just mentioned Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he was in a very exemplary environment. But one thing we have to understand, not only was he being an exemplary child, having an exemplary environment is not everything. Somebody can be in a good environment and still they can differ away from the path of truth.
Right.
But if we look at Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, what would he do? If we read from his youth, from his young age, from his services in the latter aspect of his life, he was always pleasing his parents, especially his father. So many times, due to his academic brilliance, his father would raise his hand and give great gratitude to Allah for
Allah.
You. But make dua that, oh Allah, grant my son this, this, and this.
And look at how dua was accepted.
Exactly. And this is the point that I wanted to mention. In today's day and age, we have children who are struggling. Elders are struggling as well. Anybody who has their parents alive and are struggling, they're making the biggest mistake. If you are struggling with mental health, if you're struggling, financial difficulty, anything, you're struggling and you have your parents in your house, you're making a mistake. You're looking for the solution in the wrong place. What do we look at? We think that, well, what can I do in the dunya here? What can I do in the dunya here? But you don't know that your parents' du'as are the ones that accept it. Allah loves them. When your parents ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah accepts them. You can go and ask maybe the greatest imam of your locality. There may be a chance that his du'a may not be accepted, but your parents' du'as will be accepted by Allah azza wa jal. And I truly believe because of the du'as of Allama Nafi Ali Han and Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's mother, that's why Sayyidi Ala Hazrat had such an acceptance at such a young age. Because we can look at awliya and ulama that had acceptance in the latter stages of their life, but he was accepted by ulama when he was still below the age of 12 or 13 years of age. Ulama Karam used to ask him for verdicts when he was in his childhood. He wasn't even over the age of 13 or 14, and Ulama Karam, who had years of knowledge, was saying, oh Imam, what is the answer of the God to this? And this is all the kamal of his parents' du'as. And this is what we need to understand. As children, you have our parents alive, ask your parents for du'as. Make them happy. Instead of pleasing your friends and the people of this dunya, please your parents. And I can personally guarantee you, please your parents, and you can, the du'as they're going to make for you, you're going to gain acceptance in this dunya and akhirah.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Beautiful message. And also, talking about the same point, parents are amongst those individuals whose du'as are accepted. Parents' du'as in the favor of their children. And when we look at various accounts in the past, like Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahmatullah alayhi, what was the reason for him becoming a wali? Because the way he served his mother, and then the mother made du'a for him. Then further, when we talk about the same subject, who will be the neighbor of Musa alayhi salam in paradise? Is it someone who would worship Allah Almighty throughout the night? Is it someone who would keep even nafil fast throughout the year? Is it someone who would give millions in charity? Who is it? an individual, an ordinary butcher. But with his kamal, but with his speciality, he would serve his parents. And his mother would make dua that, oh Allah, make my son neighbor of your Nabi Musa in paradise. So, mashallah, this point that you've brought in discussion, we come to know only whether the solution is there for our problem, for our worries. Lucky are those whose parents are alive. And, you know, the human psyche is such, anyway, that until and unless something is not taken away from us, we don't appreciate it. Now, our parents are something that once they are taken away, they will never come back. Money taken away can't come back. You know, other things, materialistic things, you know, until and unless we have them, it's the same phenomena, mindset that when we have it, we don't realize. We have health right now, we don't realize its value, its importance, we don't appreciate it. But once we become ill, then we realize what health was. But then we will get health again. We are rich today, we don't appreciate the value of money. But then money gets taken away, we become destitute, then we realize what money was. But then a time can come when money can come back to us. We can work hard again and money can come back to us. But parents are such a treasure, are such a blessing, that today those who do have their parents, they don't truly understand the value of parents. But once the parents are taken away, other blessings may come back, but this blessing will never come back. The next you will see them is on the Day of Judgment. And then people cry that only if I could serve my parents.
And a point that you mentioned here with regards to the importance of parents, I remember I was reading one of the scholars' books, and usually when you read a book, you don't usually read the introduction, right? You just want to get to the content. I remember I read the book, and then I finished and I thought, you know what, let me look at the content of the start. What has the great scholar written? At the start, he's given thanks to his parents, and the manner he did it, he said, all thanks to Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all thanks to my mother, my ocean of du'as,
Allah,
and my father, the pillar of support.
Subhanallah.
Now just those two points, ocean of du'as. Our mothers are oceans of du'as. Mm-hmm. They make du'a upon du'a. We don't realize. They never sit in front of you and say, I made this du'a for you today, this du'a. Every du'a is for you. Every salah they pray, every time they feel they're missing you, they're making du'as. And the point the great scholar mentioned with regards to his father, the pillar of support. Because once your father is in this dunya, he will support you no matter what. If he's not stable himself, he'll make you stable. And as soon as those roots, I consider a father like the roots of the tree. When the roots are there, you'll be strong. The roots are pulled down. You can be the tallest tree you wish. That tree will come down. And that's the importance of our parents. Like you mentioned, you only appreciate it when it's gone. But we need to understand today, we're speaking about such a great characteristic and a great personality of Islam. Sayyidi al-Hazrat is one of many khadims of his parents. If you look at the history from the Prophet to the awliya ikram to today, the ulama and awliya of today, they would all tell you, do not kiss our hands, kiss the feet of your mother and kiss the hands of your father. Every scholar you'll meet, he'll always say, when you kiss his hands, or they'll try to mention to you, you kiss your parents' hands. We think, I need to meet the awliya of this time, I need to mention the shuyukh and go to meet them. You don't know that you have the greatest means of acceptance in your own household, that you can have everything by the means of your parents. That one dua of your mother, and she shed the tear for you, our friend shared love, you could have become the host of your time and you wouldn't even realize. That's the importance of us.
So it shouldn't be a case that we ignore our parents and keep going to different imams. We should go in the court of our parents, serve them wholeheartedly, get their duas, and visit imams and shuyukh at the time as well. And then, of course, we'll find the blessings and success in this world and in the hereafter. And dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is a very delicate subject and very important topic in Islam as well. We cannot attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without obtaining the pleasure of our parents. If our father is angry with us, Allah Almighty is angry with us. The one whose mother is not pleased with him, how can he expect Allah Almighty to be pleased with him? Parents are our keys, our doors to paradise or hell. And looking with a love and a mercy, just once, at your mother and your parents give you the reward of Hajj and Mabrur, accepted Hajj. Such a big blessing we have in the form of our parents. Those whose parents are alive, I urge all those viewers, please appreciate, please value this blessing. Once it is taken away, it will never come back. Today, they can be a source of your entry into paradise or a source of your entry into hellfire. Depends how you treat them. Fall into the feet of your parents. If you've upset them, if you've hurt their feelings, seek apology from them. Apologize to them. They're your parents. They love you. They will forgive you. But you cannot attain success without making your parents happy, without getting the du'as of your parents. Apparently, you may get some kind of success in this dunya, materialistic gains, you might gain it, but at the end of the day, ultimate loss will be the fate of a person whose parents are displeased with him, who violated the rights of his parents. Parents are everything for us, and this is what we learn from the exemplary childhood of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, that serve your parents, you will be granted elevation. And we see in the seerah of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, that what great elevations Allah Almighty blessed him with, that he became the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, and he was accepted and acclaimed by not only the ulama of the Indian subcontinent, but also the ulama of Arab and other regions of the world, who deemed him as the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, and who blessed Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh with the best and the greatest of the titles. So beautiful message we get from the exemplary childhood of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, that serve your parents, look after them, you will attain elevation and blessings in this world and in the hereafter. Ali bhai, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, exemplary childhood, many aspects you've already covered, and we are trying to cover as much as we can, as you in the beginning mentioned, that we cannot do justice to this topic. It is just so of paying a tribute to Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh, having our part in talking about him to gain blessings for ourselves, alhamdulillah. So what else would you share with the views of Madani Channel regarding the exemplary childhood of the great Imam of the revivalist of the 14th century, Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullah alayh?
Another great point with regards to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, like you mentioned, we can't do justice to the entirety of the life, but we can mention some accounts.
Mm-hmm.
The account I'm going to mention, first I have a question for you, if you like. If a child's around the age of 3 years old, what do you think his speaking capabilities are like?
Allah, many of them wouldn't even be able to speak
their own mother tongue. That's Indeed. Their own tongue that they're surrounded by at all times. But let me tell you an incident of Sayyidi Imam Yahya al-Sunnat al-Shai'i wa Ahmad Reza Khan, rahmatullah alayhi. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he was in Raza Masjid, which is located in Bareilly Sharif. And there was an unknown person who came, and he was in the masjid, and he was wearing an Arabian attire. So the way the Arabs dressed, he was dressed in that same way. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he approached him, and he began to speak Arabic to him.
Allah.
And there was a lot of people around him, and they were seeing this conversation. They were looking on one side, a child of 3 years. They think that he's just a small child. He's probably asking some questions. On the other, a man who is from the Arabian Peninsula knows how to speak Arabic, and they're conversing with one another. Everybody is surprised at how is this possible. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is conversing fluently in Arabic. He's not just saying, how are you? He's not just asking, can you make dua? And they're fully conversing.
At the age of three.
At the age of three. Now let's look at our children today at the age of three. At age of three, they can barely converse in their mother tongue. Arabic wasn't Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's mother tongue. He was brought up in Bareilly Sharif in India. But at this point, at 3 years old, we need to understand, at such a young age, fluently conversing. And the ulama around the students are knowing, they understand, if somebody is speaking Arabic, he must have the understanding of the rules of Arabic. Now, one thing that I was understanding and looking at when we were researching this topic, is that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he had so much acceptance at a young age. When did he even study? At 3 years old, he was a master of the Arabic language. He was able to fluently converse. When did he study? When was he studying these rules? The science of sarf and nahv, it takes time to understand it. Balagat, these are sciences that take over at least 1-2 years for a normal student knowledge. But the great Imam at age 3 is already fluent. And this shows the great Imam's acceptance at a young age. And throughout everything we've been mentioning, I think this is the most interesting point, is we're mentioning all these events, these titles, these karamas, all these brilliant examples. Oh, we need to understand, when did Sayyidi Ala Hazrat study? When did he actually take out the time? And then this is where we realize that not only was he a master of ulum, but he was a master of the tasawwuf. His heart was enlightened with the ishq of Rasulullah. The treasures and gifts of wilaya were given to him in his childhood, mm-hmm. at a very tender and young age. And some people think that you can only take knowledge from books. We have books in front of us today. This isn't the only source of knowledge.
Indeed.
You have to understand the spiritual knowledge as well. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to whomsoever he will. And we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ala Hazrat nothing short of a genius. That's the only word that I could find, a pure genius. We can speak about his brilliance, his works, but the word genius perfectly fits Ala Hazrat. A genius at such a young age.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, MashaAllah. Beautifully explained, Ali Bhai. And also when you were mentioning that it takes at least 1 or 2 years for a student to go through the sciences, Sarf, Nahav, Balaghat, all this, but even then, we find those students struggling in conversing.
Exactly.
And certain students of knowledge, even after completing their mainstream studies, which they normally go through in Jamiat, throughout all the academic years, even after that, we see many of them are unable to converse fluently. And even those who are able to, they still struggle to converse what we call fluently. But again, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayh, being able to converse fluently in Arabic, which is the most beautiful language, alhamdulillah, is the language of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will be the language of the residents of Jannah, subhanallah. And we understand the eloquence of Arabic, how eloquent it is, and how comprehensive Arabic language is. So it is definitely a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bestowment of Allah Almighty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightened the heart of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullahi from such a young age that he was able to converse in Arabic even with someone who was from that region, who was from Arabian Peninsula, which of course left people in awe, and they were all astounded by looking at the fluency of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan rahmatullahi in Arabic. And this is also referred to as ilm al-laduni, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows to his servants, to his chosen people. So in addition to this, Ali Bhai, what else do we have to share with the viewers of Madani channel?
I think the overview of what we've looked at, and maybe I could even call this the key to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat's success in his childhood, I think the word adab would cover it all.
SubhanAllah.
We started talking about his respect for his parents, his desire to make his father specifically happy. Yes. Then we spoke about that, then we spoke about his brilliance in his academics. We saw that he could speak Arabic. Now again, let's look at his adab. Because the key to, we can mention his adab, then his brilliance, his adab, then his brilliance, because he was, almost you could say, he was the epitome, he was the perfection of both ilm and amal. He covered both ilm and amal. And a great example of this that comes to mind, a spiritual example, is that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he once had a desire to meet a madzub. A madzub is the person who's drowned in the love of Allah Almighty. And it was mentioned with regards to this specific madzub who Ala Hazrat wanted to meet, was that he was very stern and harsh in his mannerism of speaking.
Right.
If anybody would come to him, he'd speak concise to the point, and he just allowed them to leave. He wouldn't take too much time or show too much over affection, you could say.
Right.
So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he had this desire, this wish that I want to meet this madzub, so I want to get some du'as from him. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat stood outside his residence for 15 minutes. He waited and waited, and he was like, I want to meet this great madzub. And then after waiting outside his house for 15 minutes, very respectfully, the Mazzub, he became aware of him. He realized that there's somebody outside. And the Mazzub asked such a kamal question that enlightens our heart. And this is the spiritual acceptance of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. He asked one question. He says, who are you to Maulana Raza Ali Khan?
Allah.
He didn't say, who are you? What is your need here? Why have you come? He only asked, who are you in relation to Maulana Raza Ali Khan, rahmatullah alayh. And the great Imam, he says, I am the grandson of Maulana Raza Ali
Allah.
And when he says this, the Mazzub immediately embraces him.
SubhanAllah.
The same Mazzub is very stern, speaks very harshly, immediately embraces Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and brings him into his little room. Then he said to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, have you come for any specific matter, or what can I do for you? And then Ala Hazrat said, I just want you to make dua for me.
Allah.
This great Mazzub, he had so much love for the grandfather of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and for Sayyidi Ala Hazrat himself. He raised his hand and he made the dua for half an hour. For 30 minutes he's making dua, may Allah have mercy on you, may Allah bless you. These two duas, for 30 minutes he's continuously making his dua. And Marzub, usually when they make one dua for a person, this is enough.
Yes, enough.
But he had such a great love for Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and his lineage, that he spent 30 minutes of his time.
Allah.
Remember, the same Marzub gives a very small amount of time to anybody else, but he's giving 30 minutes making dua. You know why he made this dua? Because he understood who this young Imam Ahmad Raza was. He knew his grandfather was such a spiritual great and a spiritual master. He knew this Imam Ahmad Raza Khan would spread this spiritual light in his future. And he continued to make a dua for Imam Ahmad Raza, for his acceptance, for his mercy. And this point that we need to understand is being respected by a person is one thing. Being accepted by a person is another thing.
Beautiful.
Because this was a spiritual connection they had. He didn't see Allah Hazrat. He just became aware of him outside of his house. And why would he ask such a specific question? He obviously had this, Ma'ish says he almost had this fragrance coming to him. The scent of relationship was entering into this Madhu's heart, knowing that this is the lineage of Mawlana Raza alayhi khair rahmatullahi alayhi. This is the spiritual acceptance that Sayyidi Ali Hazrat had. This Majzub, he understood, he is from this progeny, he is from this lineage, I need to respect him, I need to show love to him. And the point that I mentioned right at the start, Sayyidi Ali Hazrat stood there respectfully for 15 minutes. The key to acceptance is adab. You can have ilm, you can have the shorat of this dunya, but if you do not have adab, everything will be taken away from you. If you become a great student of knowledge, you've studied for many, many years, you've mastered the Arabic language, if you do not respect your parents, you don't respect your teachers, the ulama-i karam, you may even consider yourself, na'uz billah, you've preceded them, that's the moment that your decline will begin. You'll begin to collapse in your spirituality and in your knowledge, because the key to success is others.
SubhanAllah, you beautifully mentioned, may Allah bless you. And the more a person becomes knowledgeable, the more humble he becomes, the more respectful he becomes. And as we say, ba'da ba'nafi, they are the benefit, and it is the element of respect and adab that elevates the ranks of a person, and it is also amongst the first stages of a person to start ascending the ranks of spirituality. And as you were mentioning this account, Alivai, I was just thinking about, at one side is the Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam of the time, at the other side is the Madhub. And remember the definition of Madhub, which you mentioned, someone who's engrossed in the love of Allah Almighty. The great Imam of the time and Madhub, someone who's accepted in the court of Allah Almighty on the other side. And now the element of respect that the great Imam is showing towards the Madhub, and the love and affection the Madhub is showing towards the great Imam. Now over here we can also say that knowledge and adab was something that made Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh realize who the Madhub is. And the element of being drowned in the love of Allah Almighty and having those veils lifted from his eyes allowed him to see who this great Imam is, at which lineage he belonged to, and what great work and service of Islam he would do in the future. And the same Madhub who would be stern and strict in giving answers to other people, he would embrace this great Imam and do dua for him for half an hour. As anyway, we can understand that the more senior a person is, the more important or highly designated a person is, the shorter time you get from him. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to an MP or I don't know, or someone higher in the post in this world, you would hardly get 15 minutes of their time. The higher in rank you are, the less time you get from them. And in the field of the tasawwuf, again, awliya karam, rahimahumullah, they don't waste time like us. They don't waste time on useless activities or useless conversation. Every moment of theirs is in their own reflection, within the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Madhub over here, when you're talking about him not giving extra time to people and to only reply to them as much as is required, it makes us realize and understand that the level he is at, and on the other hand, the great Imam showing respect to the Madhub, and then Madhub also showing respect to Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayhi. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, beautifully reconciled elements over here we come to know of, which are showing respect, adab. This is very, very important. Satan the Accursed also had knowledge. He was Mu'allimul Malaika, he was the teacher of angels, but yet he was deprived of adab. He had arrogance, jealousy in his heart, and eventually he became doomed forever. Eternal damnation has become his fate. He also possessed knowledge, but with knowledge, we should also contemplate our state, ponder upon ourselves, whether we also have developed the elements of respect and adab, and whether we have become humble and we've adopted humility in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we are lacking in this, then the actual purpose of knowledge, have we actually attained it or not? We need to ask ourselves this. But anyway, mashallah, beautiful Madani post we've learned from today's program, from this episode of the exemplary childhood of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayhi, the king of Bareilly, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah. And many beautiful Madani posts we've gathered for ourselves, especially in terms of the childhood of our children. That if we want to bring them up in a certain manner, if we want them to become pious, then of course we need to start practicing those very practices ourselves. And then inshallah we will see our children also being the same. And also towards the end, very beautiful point, and giving the Madani channel, I think this could also be the essence of our program, which is not only acquire knowledge, but become practicing in our knowledge and have adab in our nature, have respect in our nature, adopt humbleness, humility, if you want to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of the exemplary childhood of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make the childhood of our children exemplary. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make our children as well as us tread upon the footsteps of the great Imam, the guide to light, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah alayh. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The guide to light, Imam Ahmad Raza. The guide.